This Mark Start Money Podcast. If the subject is about money and life or questioning the so-called experts on the subject, we open the conversations.
Welcome to the Smart Start Money Podcast. My name is Eric Flynn. Buying a car can be like sitting down at a poker game. It takes patience and the ability not to give away your hand while negotiating for the best price. Following some simple car buying tips can save you thousands of dollars when the game is finally over. Make no mistake, if you're shopping for a car, especially from a car dealership, the salespeople are trained to get you to put in as much money as you can before it's over. Stay tuned to this podcast, and I'll provide some car buying tips to hopefully save you thousands of dollars. Before I get started today on the podcast for car buying tips, if you like this podcast, please visit my website at smartstartmoney.com, and you can email me by visiting the contact page there, or my direct email is eric@smartstartmoney.com. I'd love to hear your comments and thoughts on today's podcast, as well as if you have any additional car buying tips, I'd love to hear those as well. I put together a list here of car buying tips to hopefully help some listeners that are in the market shopping for a car. And I have to freely admit, I hate shopping for cars. Every time it comes around that I have to go out and get another car, I don't like it at all. And that's simply because it is a game that you have to play. And this is particularly true with car dealerships, if you go into car dealerships. And I'm going to probably go off on a little bit of a complaining rant here for a minute. Car dealerships, you know, if you've ever pulled in a car dealership and you're shopping for a car, it's almost like going into, you know, a field of cars with a bunch of, zombies walking around. The salesman, there might be four or five or more of them sitting around, and one kind of comes walking over toward you, and then the game begins as they try to look for a way to get as much profit as they can out of you when they eventually sell the car. Now, rightfully so, these people are salespeople, and their paycheck depends on sales. But at the same time, you know, to me, there's always, a line of taking someone for a ride or, you know, making a living. And I don't want to single out and say, you know, all car salesmen are dishonest. That's simply not the case. There are good ones, but either way, they still try to get as much profit as they can. The list together I put here, first one I'm going to go over is to some good guidelines to follow when car shopping is obviously research. That is the first step that you need to take when you even think about you're going to, you know, going to buy another car. I usually take a long time for the research phase. It's important to do this in order to get the best price on a car. And even with any type of large purchase, should always start with some type of research. Luckily, the internet has made, you know, researching car buying much easier than it was, you know, before the internet existed. I can remember being much younger and the internet really wasn't around. So it was kind of like the auto trader books out of the stores and things to look for cars. But as far as research, it wasn't quite as easy as it is today. So with today, you have websites such as Edmunds.com, which has a lot of car buying information on there. That's a big one that I use. There's Kelley Blue Book. I don't use them quite as much because, from what I know, I think they were bought out by some people that want to keep the car prices where they are. So they're not, but I still take a look at the Kelley Blue Book and Consumer Reports as well. It's just a good idea to get some different research in some different places because you never know, you know, what company is actually influenced by its advertisers or, you know, who's paying for advertising to do the research. They're a paid advertiser and the place is doing research, they're more likely to give favorable research. So just something to keep in mind. But different sites, they do contain a wealth of information when it comes to looking at a car. So it is important to do that. And you need to use those sites to your advantage and read the reviews. It doesn't take too long to learn about a car's, you know, maintenance expectations, fuel economy, and the experience other drivers have with a car that you may be considering buying by looking at different reviews. Just make sure to get them from some different places. You need to know the car you'd like to buy or a few different ones before you go shopping. Learn as much as you can about them. This is going to give you some points to discuss with the person selling the vehicle and also the knowledge to know you're getting the one you want. So research is extremely important. Now, there is a difference when you're researching a new car, you know, buying new versus used. And the difference here is with new car, you know, with new cars, researching models and reading reviews and getting a good price to start negotiations, they should all be required reading on that list. But you want to get the invoice price on what a new car sells for and not the MSRP, the manufacturer suggested retail price. Now, the invoice price of a car is its closest to what a car dealer may have paid. It's not going to be exact, but it is going to be somewhat closer. And unfortunately, getting the invoice price can be challenging even for seasoned car buyers, but it is something you should attempt to do. The styles and options need to match up precisely to get a good price, you know, a good idea of the price on the invoice price. So you need to really know what you're looking for, but you need to do that research to try and get the invoice price. Try to come as close as you can, and this will give you a good idea, you know, having an idea of a car dealer's net price that they paid, it really puts you in a better starting position when you go into the car dealership. Now, like I said, you won't always get the exact invoice price, but the closer you can get, the better. That MSRP is not the invoice price. So you need to keep that in mind, especially if you're at a car dealership looking at the stickers on the window that always have the MSRP on it. On a used car, researching used cars is somewhat similar, but the price has a lot more to do with supply and demand. So historically, automobiles like Honda or Toyota, they do tend to have higher resale values compared to other vehicles because they're known to be dependable as a used car. The supply and demand is going to have a big part to do with it on used cars. So search for pricing on sites like cars.com or autotrader.com and get a feel for the range of pricing for the car you're considering. Now, I know some of those more popular models that I mentioned, like the Hondas or the Toyotas, they can get expensive. I know recently I was looking for a used truck and, you know, a Toyota Tacoma, I believe it was, with high mileage, they're not cheap. And it's because they tend to last a long time in most cases, or at least you hope so when you buy it. So, but like I said, you just search for, you know, on sites like cars.com or autotrader.com and get a feel for that price range for the car you're considering when it's used. Make sure to look at private sellers as well, in addition to dealerships, to get an idea for the pricing difference. Now, generally, a private seller is usually less expensive compared to a car dealer. Now, this might not always be the case if a car has been sitting on a dealer's lot for some time. A lot of times they're willing to let it go for even cheaper. But generally, at least in my opinion, the private sellers, you'll tend to find a better deal, especially if it's someone that just needs to get rid of a car quickly. A lot of times, you know, if you have cash in hand, they're willing to let it go, as opposed to some place that needs to, you know, pay the utility bills and the rent to keep the place open. That's something to keep in mind. The maintenance history is a big factor when you're researching on used cars. If someone neglected a car, it could be your nightmare when you buy a used car. There's a few different ways you can kind of research the history, the maintenance history. A lot of times it helps if you're buying from, you know, either a dealership or a private seller. It helps if they have history, you know, receipts and things of maintenance that was done. But there also is a service called Carfax, which is advertised quite a bit these days. And you can certainly use that service. And is what Carfax does, you can find it at carfax.com. It can point to possible issues that may exist with a car. Now, most of the online car listing websites are going to have a VIN number, and you can use that on the Carfax site. Use it to get more information on a vehicle's history. Now, I would caution against using Carfax if you are not familiar with them and you haven't used it before. and there's other services that are probably available that are similar. They're not an absolute maintenance history and may not reveal everything about a car's history. So the way the Carfax works is if there is an accident that's reported to the authorities or something like that, it's going to be in that Carfax history. Now, the problem is if that particular car is involved in an accident or something and it's not reported, it probably is not going to be in a Carfax history. So you do need to take them kind of with a grain of salt, those Carfax reports, but they can be helpful. Like I said, they're not an absolute to reveal everything about a car's history. They can only really be initially used to rule out certain car choices that you might be looking at. An example I have is I used Carfax in one of my decisions previously, and I looked at the Carfax of a car I was thinking about buying, and it turned out it was a registered as a taxi, and this was not a car that I wanted to buy. Not to say that taxis aren't taken care of, but they're certainly driven a lot more than somebody that's just driving around town. So a taxi was not something I wanted to buy. So in that case, the Carfax came in handy. You may be also, you know, to see on a Carfax if a car was registered as a lease or a rental car. So that's something to look out for on the Carfax. But like I said, be cautious with those because they are not 100%. Insurance is another thing you need to research on the car you're looking for. Don't overlook the cost of insurance during your research. Get some quotes on the cars you're interested in so you're not surprised by the insurance cost. There could be a big difference in the cost of insurance from the car you may be driving now, or it might be a significant price increase. So this could change your buying decision from the start if you find out that the insurance, you know, your insurance doubles for the car you're looking at. So something to research in there. The second item I have on the car buying tips list here is financing. Now, financing a car is not something you should do if you can avoid it. You should probably pay with cash. You know, if it's used, you can afford with cash, buy used. Financing is not something you should typically do. There's a few circumstances where it makes sense, but for most people, it doesn't. And like I said, if it comes down to a decision of buying a new car that you have to finance and buying a used one that you can pay for, then buying a used car is usually the best choice. I am a big proponent to buying used due to the fast depreciation of new cars. Most people will tell you that, you know, having an auto loan is just a normal part of life, but it doesn't have to be, and it really shouldn't be. The quickest way to being in debt and being over your head is to take out car loans. I even wrote a previous article on this at smartstartmoney.com called Why Auto Loans Are Not a Good Idea, if you want to check that out. But they're just not, you know, new cars depreciate in the first 3 years, I think 22%, and over 5 years, they're going to depreciate more than 50%. So, you know, a car you buy today and finance and it's $24,000, in 5 years, it's going to be worth $12,000. They go down in value fast. Now, although auto loans aren't, like I said, a good idea, I am a realist. And like I said, most people should not take them out. But I do realize having one may not be avoidable in some circumstances. You know, if you need a car and you don't have the cash to outright buy one, I still wouldn't buy a new one. Buy a used one and one that you can pay off that loan in the quickest amount, in the quickest time possible. You know, if it's a question of, well, I need a car to get back and forth to work so I can earn this great money with this great job, then obviously you need a car if it makes sense and you can pay it off quick. So like I said, take out the smallest amount possible to get good, reliable transportation and have financing set up before you go to shop for a car if this is the case. You will need this for a private seller as well, and you should definitely have it before you go to a car dealership. Now, car dealerships will often have financing of their own, and most of the time their financing is more expensive compared to a bank or credit union. So knowing what you can spend and having this with you will put a stop to a car dealer trying to squeeze more money out of the sale through their own financing. So go ahead of time. You know, if you do need to finance, like I said, you need to take out the least amount possible, but get financing ahead of time through your local bank or credit union. Go that route first. You can always go through the car dealership, but you want to have it set up beforehand so you can have a comparison of what is the better deal. Now, the other thing with financing is you need to know your credit score before car shopping. Even though you should get financing from a bank or credit union, if, you know, like I said, it is unavoidable, you know, before looking at vehicles, you need to have that pre-approval set up. You still need to know your credit score. And this is going to give you an idea what a bank might offer before you go in there. And you'll also have that figure in mind when you go into the car dealership, because there's no telling what they'll turn around and say, well, your credit's not that good, so we're going to have to give you this higher rate, which may not necessarily be true. If you know what your credit score is, you may have some dealing to get actually a better rate through the car dealer with them shopping around, because they're probably going to get something on the back end of the financing, so it's in their best interest to do that. And regardless, you should take a look at your credit report annually. Even if you will not be financing a car, it's a good time to look at your report when you're thinking about going out and shopping. Just have it in mind. The popular credit reporting agencies, they'll let you pull your credit, you know, annually for free. Experian, TransUnion, you know, they're two of the more popular reporting agencies. So you should do that annually anyways. The third item I have on car buying tips list here is shopping, not buying, is what I call it. So once all your research is done, it's time to go shopping. Now, the key at this stage is the shopping and not buying. You're going to have to use some self-control and arm yourself for battle if you go to a traditional car dealership, but use this time to look at the cars you're considering buying. And it was what you're going to want to do while you're shopping and not buying is do some test drives. It does not make a difference if you're looking at used cars or new. Test drive the ones you want, you know, you might want to purchase, and it could either be at a car dealership or through a private seller. Now, test driving with a new car, it's important to feel comfortable with the vehicle. So ensure it has something that you would be happy driving around each day. Does it have the handling and power you want? Does the car have any quirks that would be a problem? You know, when you're test driving the car that you're looking at, those are things that you want to keep in mind. And with the new cars, take a look at a few different models of the same car for a drive to get a feel if any of the differences would be something of interest. Now, with a used car, test driving used cars can be a little different from getting the feel of a new one. You want to ensure there's no issues. It can take a little more thorough drive and inspection. So make sure to take the car not only around the local neighborhood, but also drive it at highway speeds to ensure everything is working properly. Ensure the brakes are working. Turn on the air. The air is a big one, I will tell you, on used cars. Turn on the air and the heat to ensure they're working, as well as the radio and the sound system. And listen for any strange noises and pay attention to anything that doesn't appear normal when you're test driving the car. Take the time to test drive some different cars and just walk away. You don't need to buy it. Now, the car dealers, they're going to try and pressure you into buying after doing, you know, some driving. Don't make a purchase yet. Under no circumstances should you fall for the deposit gimmick. Well, we're going to sell this car, so it might not be here if you like it. You might be told, you know, that might be the case, but there's another car out there if that one is gone. There's always going to be another one. So use the test driving time for what it is. Test drive a bunch of cars, different cars that you're thinking about buying, and get a feel for the one you want. So now that you've done your research, you've test driven some cars, you know your credit score, you've gotten pre-approval if you do need to finance, although you shouldn't if you don't have to. Now is the time on the next step to actually go in and buy a car. and it's time to make a purchase decision. So price combined with quality are typically the deciding factors that I use when it comes to buying a car. Negotiating a good deal and ensuring a bad purchase decision isn't made are definitely the focus at the car buying point. You might be lucky in one of the test drives you previously made, you know, at a dealership or visiting a private seller that the car is still available. And this is a good starting point to go back and see if you can get the car for the right price that you may have previously taken a look at. Now, picking the right time to buy at, if you're buying from a car dealership, there is some certain times that are better times than others to actually buy from a car dealership. So with car dealerships, buying a new or used car, there is evidence that points to certain times being the best to get a good deal. And generally better times are during the week, with Wednesday being one of the best days. And this is due to the supply and demand, with car dealerships typically having more customers on the weekend. So if you go in there on a Wednesday, it doesn't have as many, they don't have as many customers as they do on a nice Saturday afternoon. Now, a salesperson might not be willing to negotiate much, knowing, that there will be another buyer if you do go in there on a Saturday. And that's part of the problem, is there's just so many buyers. They're usually not willing to negotiate much because there's another one waiting in line. So going in during the middle of the week is a good time. Now, better deals at car dealerships can also be found often at the end of the month, which is a good time to go. So this relates to car dealerships having sales goals and incentives usually being calculated at the end of the month. And there can be a real motivation for a salesperson and a car dealership to make a better deal at the end of the month to reach their sales goals. So end of the month, middle of the week, good times to go. And just like there are monthly sales goals, there's also yearly ones to keep in mind at car dealerships. So the end of the year can be a good time to buy, with September through December usually being good months, because yearly sales goals will also come into play with previous year car models during those times. And even though the newest year's car model may be on the sales floor, it might be a good time to make a deal on a new one from the previous year. So when those new models come in towards the end of the year, if you're buying a new car, you're still getting a new car. It's just an older model. So something to keep in mind there. If you're going to go to the car dealership to buy as well, go around lunchtime. Early in the day might be slow and there might not be many people around, and could take longer to get a sale finalized when there's not a lot of people around. The end of the day is not a good time to buy a car either. Early in the day, end of the day, usually around lunchtime, better time. And the end of the day, the problem is service departments and banks might be closed. So, it could be a lot of work just to have to wait to get everything done the following day. So usually not first thing in the morning, and late in the day, they're just not good times to go. Now, with a private seller, picking the best time to buy a car from a private seller may not have really much of an impact. It really depends on the seller and their situation. If they're motivated to sell, a better deal can be negotiated. Now, negotiation, when it comes to negotiating, we'll start with the car dealerships here. And this is the part I hate. This is the game that you have to play, the back and forth. It's just, to me, it's not fun. It's like pulling your hair out. So if you decide to purchase a vehicle from a dealership, the one thing you have to remember is that game of them trying to get the most profit out of you, it's going to begin the moment you drive into their dealership and get out of your car. And it likely starts the minute a salesperson approaches you. The conversation is going to begin friendly and quickly move to what you're interested in, and what you're shopping for. And some of the common things that car salespeople ask is if you have a trade-in and what type of payment you are looking for. There's a few tips here when you go to the car dealership. Is the first one, never talk. Do not talk about car payments. Hopefully you won't be financing, so car payments won't even come into play. But if you do intend to do this, still do not talk about what type of payment you can afford. This is a tactic that car dealerships use. Car dealerships, they're salespeople. They look for a payment that they can fit you into, and they can get you in a more expensive car if they want with the payment you want. And there is what they, how they do it is they just increase the loan term. You know, so instead of, you know, a couple of years of an auto loan, now you have 8 years or 7 years of an auto loan in the perfect payment that you want. You're just paying on it forever. So when it comes to buying a car, just like anything else, if you're going to make payments, sure, you can have the payment you want. You'll just have it for 20 years. So don't talk payments. It's just not a good idea. And they're probably going to ask you. The other thing they'll do is if it's a car you really like, you can't afford to outright buy it, they're going to try to talk you into a lease, which very few circumstances a lease makes sense. So that's something you want to stay away from. But like I said, if it's a car you can't afford, the lease option may come up if it's a payment they can fit you into. So just tell them you're not interested in monthly payments. Tell, you know, let the salesperson know right now you're more interested in the final price. Now, the other thing I mentioned kind of here is you're going to be asked if, you know, you're going to trade in your old car to purchase, you know, the purchase that you're going to make of another one. Don't mention that you will trade in your current car, or even that you might be considering it to the salesperson. You're going to want to get the final price of a car before ever mentioning a trade-in. And the better alternative, to be honest with you, is just not to trade in a car at all when you're buying another at a car dealership. You're always going to get a better price selling a vehicle on your own compared to trading it in at a car dealership. Now, you know, when you trade in a car at a car dealership, a lot of times is what they do is they'll tell you they're giving you a certain price for it. And honestly, that's not the real price. They're making up, you know, it might look great, but they're making up for it somewhere else. So they're not going to give you the best price on a used car. So just something to keep in mind is don't trade in your car at the dealership. A better alternative is to sell it privately. Now, when you have the car in mind that you intend to buy and you're at the dealership, start with a lowball offer. Now, I know that can be hard to do, but that's what you need to do. You need to start with a lowball offer. You can always come up and price from there. That's the reason why you start low. With new cars, use the invoice price you obtained in the research step. If, you know, you're purchasing a used one, start low as well with the prices that you researched. Now, not always, but sometimes I would say more often than not, on used cars, you're going to find them a little more expensive at the dealerships, but just throw out the private seller prices that you're seeing. You want to start there. And the big thing here is, especially with a used car, is you want to take it to a trustworthy mechanic before starting price negotiations. You want to take it beforehand before negotiating the price. Just let the salesperson know that you're interested, but want to have your mechanic look the car over. And if you haven't already looked at something like a Carfax report, this is a good time to ask for one as well. Most car dealers I see these days, the last time I went shopping for a car, which is now years ago, they had the Carfax. Most of them do. They try to use this to their advantage. But like I said, take those with a grain of salt, but they can be a good starting point. And most car dealers have the vehicle's history with the Carfax. You know, it can be a good negotiation tactic if something comes up on the Carfax report that can help in getting, you know, lowering the price. And also if you take it to a mechanic, he can point things out that might need, you know, some attention where you can get the price lowered. And another trick that I actually like to use with the Carfax is when you look at those reports, it usually has somewhere on the page the date the report was printed out. And a lot of times is what these car dealers will do. They get a new, you know, they get a car in and the first thing they do is print out the Carfax report and then they just put it in the file. So if you look at that date on the report and it's an older date and the car's been sitting there for some time, that might be a good indication that you know, they might be willing to let it go at a reduced price. So you may be able to negotiate a little better with a car that's been there for some time. Now, when it comes to the car dealers, play dealers against each other in the process of negotiating. If you can get the same car at another dealership for a lower price, use this to your advantage and let them know you'll be buying from someone else if they can't match the price or come in at a lower price. Now, that's certainly a tactic you can use. It takes a little more positioning. You know, you got to go through a couple different dealerships and things, but you can certainly use them against each other. With used cars, if a price can't be agreed on and it's close, just, this is at the dealerships, ask for them to throw something into the sale to make it more attractive. So if you're at a car dealership looking at a used car, and let's say it's a car you really want, but the price is just a little too high and it has tires that might need to be replaced, ask the dealership to throw those into the deal. Ask for a new set of tires. These extras can help you get the price closer. Now, the dealer pays cost for them, and the savings then is, it's passed to you. So it's certainly worth a try. That's something that's worked for me. I've had that done on two cars I bought in my lifetime. I just flat out told them, it was a used car, and I said, I don't want to turn around 2 months from now and have to put four brand new tires on a car. And tires aren't cheap these days. A good set of tires, depending on the car, if it's an SUV, it could cost you, $1,000 for a set of four tires. So that's certainly a place to make up some of the cost, is asking for those extras. Now, private sellers, negotiating a good deal with a private seller can be either easier than a dealership or more challenging, to be honest with you. Start by asking the seller what the lowest price is they're willing to take. So ask that to the private seller. If it seems to be less than what you wanted to pay, then, that's great. If it's more, don't be afraid to show them some of the selling prices of similar cars that you were researching when you were looking at some different ones. And like I said earlier, private car sales almost always tend to be lower in price compared to a dealership. You might catch someone who is very motivated to sell and just needs it gone when it comes to a private seller. They may also just really need the money at the time. So you can sometimes, with a private seller, you can get a good deal sometimes. But the big thing with the private sellers is, just as it is with the dealership, it's crucial to get it to a mechanic to take a closer look at the car. Ask the seller, if they mind this being done. If they have an issue with it, you might want to walk away from the deal with a private seller if they won't let you take it to your mechanic. It could point to possible issues they don't want someone to uncover. Ask the seller, with the private seller, ask them a number of questions. You can also ask the dealership with the used car some of these questions, but questions like, has the car ever been in an accident that you're aware of? How many owners have owned this car do you know of? Have there been any issues with the car? Do you have maintenance records? Ask why the car is being sold, who typically does the maintenance on the car. Those are some of the questions you want to ask definitely a private seller, but also some of those you might be able to ask the dealership just to get a feel. And sometimes, you can read people, whether they're telling the truth or trying to keep something out. So those are good questions to ask. Now, if a price can't be agreed on to make a deal happen, just be polite and walk away. With a private seller, you don't have to get mad that they're asking too much. Sometimes people get attached to their cars and they think they're worth more than they're willing to let them go as well. Just give the seller your contact information and let them know you're interested, but you need to be around the price you're comfortable with. And not all the time, but sometimes you may get a call a few weeks later with a seller that wasn't willing to let a car go at your price, not willing to make a deal happen. So you definitely want to walk away with a private seller if the price isn't there. Now, with the car dealerships, once the final price is agreed upon and it's time to make everything final and sit down, chances are with a car dealership, they have not truly given the final price at this point. These are some of the games that the car dealerships like to play, is they like to give you one price and then you sit down and all of a sudden it's another price. The thing you have to keep in mind is, you know, there's going to be taxes, there's going to be title fees and add-ons to pad a car dealership's profit. And this is where that price that they originally gave you all of a sudden turns different. So before you make any decisions, you need a final price in writing. There's some of the things that the car dealership is going to try to add are things like rust proofing, paint sealers, fabric protection, and they all seem like a good idea, but the dealer is going to charge much more than getting this done through a third party. So just turn all those down, all those extras. They're going to try to throw in those extras. Also, if you see things like dealer prep fees, documentation fees, and possibly advertising fees, VIN etching is also a popular add-on. The dealer is going to tell you, the VIN etching is going to prevent theft, and it won't, and it's a waste of money. So just refuse the add-ons. If you're buying a used car, an extended warranty is also going to be offered. Now, these are almost always never worth the money spent, and it can seem appealing with a used car, but if the vehicle checks out, still turn down that extended warranty. You just have to know that you're buying a used car and budget for possible repairs. The extended warranties, these dealerships, they can cost thousands of dollars, and they rarely will cover all the expenses. Car dealerships make large profits on extended warranties, and that's one reason why they like to try to push them. So just stay away from the extended warranties. Now, when it comes to a new car that has a warranty, a dealership may still offer an extended one, even though there is already a warranty in place. You'll often be told that, you know, buying the extended warranty now will be less expensive compared to getting one in the future, and it's simply not true. If you want an extended warranty in 3 to 5 years, you can still get one. Example for me is a Honda that I own, and I'm still sent offers for an extended warranty from the dealership to this day, even though they told me it's going to be more expensive if I didn't buy it that day I bought the car. Nope. Simply not true. It is not more expensive than it was when I first bought the car. It's really around the same price, so that's a tactic they try to use to get you to buy that extended warranty. Save some money, buy it today. Some of the add-ons that car dealerships put on there are, just so you know, they are negotiable. Don't be afraid to ask to have delivery or prep fees removed and reduced if they're added on to the price of the car. This is also a good time to let the dealership know that you may like to trade in your old car. Make sure you've got the final price before you do that. Get that final price agreed upon and then break in there that you have a car you want to trade in. Now, I still recommend that you sell your older car that you're thinking about, that you're going to get rid of, sell it privately and just use that money to buy another one. But if you have to trade in an old one, don't tell them that until you have that final price agreed upon and it's in writing. And then break that on them and the price should go down without more price going up, which is essentially what they would do if you didn't have it in writing. Now, I would still recommend, like I said, selling the old car on your own. So make sure to do that and try to stay away from trading it in. Once you start to see the finish line of finalizing everything, and it might not be where you want it yet at a car dealership, don't be afraid to walk away before signing the final paperwork. A lot of times they play these games, these car dealerships, and for me, it's happened time and time again through the years. You know, you go in, you get the salesperson, you get a price agreed upon, you get this, you get that, and then all of a sudden you get the sales manager, and then after that it's the finance manager, and it goes through several hands, and they make you wait, and sometimes wait long periods. If you get frustrated, if you don't like what they have to say, don't be afraid to walk away at the car dealership before you sign and finalize everything. I can almost guarantee if you do this, you'll get closer to the price you want either at that minute or in a day or two, the dealership will call you willing to lower the price. They'll try to get as close as they can. If you're not happy with it, just leave. You know, if the dealer is not willing to come to terms, the big thing is do not leave any money to hold the car. They're going to tell you it might be sold while you're trying to make a decision. Like I said earlier, there are plenty of cars for sale and you will find another one. Do not leave any money with them. If you are buying that car, don't leave anything with them. If you are financing, and financing, like I said, it should be the last option, but if you must do this, make sure, like I said earlier, you have that pre-financing set up. If you don't have this ahead of time due to poor credit, this is going to be a critical time to pay attention while you're at that dealership. You should already know your credit score. Like I said, if the car dealer offers to finance, let them know you're aware of what your score is. If they come back with a rate you're not comfortable with, let them know it does not seem to be correct, taking your score into consideration and the research you've done. There shouldn't be a problem with you doing that. The dealer might tell you they might be able to get a lower rate or they are working on a lower one. If this is late in the day, they might tell you to, hey, just take the car home and come back in the morning. Do not drive that car away at any time until the deal is completely done. A typical scam a less than trustworthy car dealer will pull is to tell a person the following day after they've taken the car home that financing fell through and more money needs to be put down or the rate will need to be higher to finalize the sale. That's something that some of them will pull that are less than trustworthy. So you need to keep that in mind. Unless you bought that car, don't drive it home. Now, during the sale process, if you are financing, do not budge on the terms you were originally told. If they tell you one set of terms, don't budge on them. A typical tactic is to first work, like I said, with the salesperson. Following this comes the sales manager and then the finance manager. Along the way, they will try to tell you they can't lower the price or they need to increase the loan term. Stick to the original agreement. Do not give in to putting more money down or having the time of a loan term increase. If you don't like the deal, walk out the door. Don't lease. They may try to pull this one on you if you're not happy with buying the car. If you are financing, don't lease. Do not lease. If through financing, a monthly payment that is not affordable, then don't lease. And you shouldn't be anyways, because if you are financing, it should be a very short loan that you can pay off early. The car dealer might offer a lease with a lower payment. Walk away and don't lease. There are several reasons why leasing a car is a bad idea. And I also have a article on my website about leasing. There's just a ton of reasons not to do it, and it only makes sense in very rare circumstances. Now, financing with bad credit. Not everyone has the best credit if you do need to finance a portion of a vehicle. Now, at all costs, like I said, you should avoid financing. However, if you must finance as a last resort to get you back and forth to work, you know, and it's something you can pay off quick, because if you can't get to work, you can't earn money, you need to be particularly cautious when it comes to financing. Car dealerships prey upon people with poor credit. I don't want to single all car dealerships out again, but many of them do. So you need to keep that in mind. Let me repeat that. Car dealerships prey upon people with poor credit. If you need a good, reliable car you can finance and pay off quickly for whatever reason, do not take out a 6-year loan term or more just to get into a car you can afford. With the high interest rate a bank or car dealership will charge, it will keep you in the same situation you are currently in. So if you're in debt, if you have trouble paying your bills, but you can afford a car payment in a 6-year loan term, do not do it. Get a cheaper car, get a less expensive car. Now, with bad credit, you know, a 12 or 15% interest rate on an auto loan is not good. So when you look at that interest rate, it's more than likely going to be very high. If you take this deal to get a car, you're going to be behind on what is worth, you know, on what that car is worth very quickly. This is especially true if the loan, you know, is 72 or 84 months. You're better off buying something used that will get you from point A to point B. Now, there are plenty of car dealers that prey upon people with poor credit that need a car, and they might even, you know, popular one that we have here locally, and I think he's even around the country, is, you know, he offers free vacations or free large screen televisions as an incentive. if you buy or lease a car. The reason he's offering those, they're not free. You're paying for it. And he's offering those because he's trying to get people in there with less than perfect credit to buy or lease a car because they outright can't afford those things like a vacation or a flat screen TV. So they're thinking, well, I need a car anyway, so why don't I get a free vacation out of it? It's not free. You're going to be paying for it. Buy a car someplace else and save your money to take a vacation. Now, to finalize the sale with a private seller on an automobile, there are some things that are required. First, with a private sale, you'll need the title. If the seller does not have one, then just walk away. Don't exchange any money. If they don't have the title, walk away. They either still have a loan with the bank on it, or they're not the owner, or they haven't gotten the title yet. In the old days, you know, you pay off a car, you get the title, or you just buy a car used, you get the title. These days, a lot of times you have to go online and order the title or whatnot. But typically, if they don't have the title, they may not own the car. So just walk away. You know, if the seller doesn't have one, you need to ensure that they own the car. There are some things on a title that could point to some issues that you want to keep an eye out for. So on the title, ones that indicate either like a salvage, a rebuild, or a factory buyback, items like these spelled out on a title are reason enough not to buy the car. So if you see those things on a title, just walk away and avoid, you know, don't buy it. If the seller provides a private sale, a payoff note, and does not have the title yet, you will need to verify this with the lender. There should not be a financing company listed on the title at all. You need to make sure of that. The other thing with a private seller is get a bill of sale and list out the following information on it. Now, when you get the bill of sale, make sure the date of the sale is on there, the sale price, the name and address of both the buyer and the seller, the VIN or vehicle identification number, and note any conditions placed on the sale. If you live in a state that has emissions testing, check for the paperwork to ensure there's no issues. With the emissions, that's a big one. You don't want to buy a car that's going to be a problem at the emissions office and cost you thousands of dollars to fix. So it's running down the road nice and clean. So make sure you get the information on that. The other thing is with the private seller transfer, you need to transfer the title. So purchasing a car from a private seller, it's going to require a signature from both the buyer and the seller on the title along with the date. If for some reason there are multiple people listed on the title, you'll need to get all the signatures for the people listed. The other thing on the title is the odometer reading with the number of miles on the car is also recorded at the time of the sale on the title. Now, the sale price may also be required on the title. One thing to note here is that some people may ask to list a lower sale amount than agreed on. And don't do this. Many buyers will ask to have this done to lower taxes. There are states that have caught on to this, and it will likely catch up to you if the sales price listed is far below market value. So that's not something you want to do. Some years ago, you used to be able to get away with that. Not so much anymore. I even had a friend of mine some years ago that did something similar and then had to pay tax on it eventually. A notary might be required as well for the title transfer. It just depends on the state you live in. The seventh step I have here with car buying tips is, now that you've purchased a car, is just drive off with it, you know, and be happy with it. If you followed the tips in this podcast and drive away with a car, just be happy and content with your decision. You did everything you could. And buying a car, it's not an exact science, but you just need to try to do everything to ensure a good deal is made on a car, you know, to ensure you get a good deal. So just be happy with it. Hopefully the information in this podcast will help you purchase a vehicle if you're thinking about buying one. And although I've picked up much information over the years when it comes to buying a car, I still, to this day, do exhaustive research when I'm in the market for the next vehicle purchase. Each time I pick up more information on how to get a better deal. And my advice here is don't just listen to this podcast on car buying tips and then, you know, go out and buy a car. Take the time to do as much research as you can. When it comes to buying a car, it's important to arm yourself with as much information as you possibly can. And this is particularly important when it comes to shopping at car dealerships. The car dealerships, they're there to make money as a business, which is understandable, but it doesn't mean you have to be taken advantage of. If you have more helpful information on how to get the best deal when buying a car, I'd love to get your feedback. Car purchasing for most people is not a fun way to spend their time. It's certainly not for me. Let me know how you work at getting the best deal on a car. Thanks for listening to the Smart Start Money Podcast. My name is Eric Flynn. Join me on the next podcast as I talk about sky-high theme park prices and how the prices of theme parks seem to be outpricing the middle class.